know that there are many important scriptures that we have looked at through life, but this one just seems very, very powerful to me, that we are not left on earth by ourselves. Just the same way that I was telling the kids, how do you know not to walk, both, not to look before you cross the street? It's just part of you. You've been taught it for life. Well, that's what God's Holy Spirit will do with us. He will guide us on what we should do or not do if we listen and we take time to do those kinds of things. So, I've got 3 points, or 3 stories. And it all has to do with being troubled, or not being troubled, whichever situation may be. And God's going to reveal to you, each one individually, the Spirit's going to reveal to you in ways that the person beside you may totally get a different answer. And that's okay. Because God works us individually as people, and as congregations, and as people in the world. So, I have a few other scriptures to go along with this, but I'm going to start with this. The 3 stories. Recently, we were coming back from Bon Echo with our trailer and on the 401. And Janet was driving. Doesn't really matter who was driving. And all of a sudden, the car went weird. And we pulled over and found out that the tire had blown out on the back trailer. It was flopping around. And it was rather unnerving. So we thought, well, what do we do? Well, Janet pulled over, and it turns out that it was the passenger side tire. So we could pull over, and we could get out on the 401, with traffic going by, and we'd have the trailer between us and the tire. So that was a little bit of thank you God right there. Right? So, trouble is how you see it. We thought, oh, we're in trouble. We're on the 401. We have a blown out tire, and there's cars going by, going by, going by. But we didn't feel troubled. We felt like, okay, now what? So God started to say, well, okay. God through us, we sort of said, well, what do we do? Well, we should change the tire. Okay. So we opened up and looked, and of course, the spare was flat. Should we be troubled yet? Ah, but at Christmas, Janet had got a tire inflator that you put in the car that you can plug into the cigarette lighter and you can blow the tire up. Ah, okay, that's really good. And then we said, oh, but do we have a jack that can jack up the tire, jack up the trailer? Ah, we have a special jack. It's in the trailer that we use if we're on really hilly spaces. We can jack it up, put extra stuff on it. Ah, that's great. One of the old style jacks that go boom, 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 and it lifts it up, lifts it up. We thought, great, so we got that. And then we looked at the hex end where the nut goes. We said, that looks really small. It wouldn't fit on the nut, on the trailer, on the tire. Are we in trouble yet? Trouble is how you see it. We thought, oh, we have a jack in the car buried underneath everything that we might be able to get to, and it might have just the right size opening. And so we dug through and we found, and it, of course, it fit. So we were able to get the spare tire off, pump it up, and do those kinds of things. And then we got the finger, and the 401, the traffic's going by, going by, going by. And we thought, okay, got the old one off, put the new one on, and the bolt patterns fit, and everything was all good. Were we in trouble? Well, supposedly, it didn't feel like we were in trouble. And I don't know if it was God's blessing upon us, or whether we'd just been through so much stuff before in our lives, that we knew that we could just relax in that. And I think that that's kind of what happens to us, is we relax in situations that we have been through sort of before. And we have been through it with God, and the Spirit kind of reminds us, look, you've been through this before. Maybe not exactly, but you've been through this before. And we can relax in that. And trouble is how you see it. So trouble is how you see it comes to my second story. When I first moved to Simcoe, I was living in London, north west London, and I found out that was a job opening at an elementary school. And I had been looking for a long, long time. And so I called and I said, and they said, yes, oh, you'd be interested in this job. I said, yes, well, the interviews are tomorrow morning. Do you think you can be here? Yes, I'll be there. Bring your paperwork with you and all those kinds of things. And the principal was Don Stewart. And so he said, bring your paperwork with you and we'll fit you in at 9 in the morning. First thing. First person. Okay. I have never been to Simcoe ever in my life. I'm living in northern London. And this is before we had all the, you know, you can look on your phone, it'll tell you it's 2 hours and 3 minutes to get to such and such place, and maps it all out for you. So the only thing I had was the regular road maps, and it said that I should come down 401, down 19, go through Tillsonburg, and then through Delhi, and off we go. And I said, like, roughly how long is it going to take? Oh, about an hour and a half. I was in northwest London, and I had to come all the way through London, just about rush hour time, to get to a 9 o'clock appointment in Simcoe at Elgin School. So I said, well, I'll give myself an extra 15 minutes and off we go. And I thank you God, oh, this is so good. This might be just what I want. I've been looking for this a long time. So I get on the road and of course I hit rush hour in London. And I got on the 401. 401, we were good. Come down through Tillsonburg. Traffic light, Tillsonburg. Slow. Coming out of Tillsonburg. Traffic light. I think, oh, we're doing fine. And then I'm looking at my watch and I'm going, 9 o'clock, and it's 20 minutes to 9, and I'm in Tillsonburg. And I'm thinking, well, can't be far. It's Simcoe. Can't be far. So off I go, drive along, get to a little place called Delhi. And I come through Delhi and I've got 10 minutes. I said, well, Delhi must be really close to Simcoe. And I thought, well, the trouble is how you perceive it, how you think of it, how you see it. So I thought, well, maybe I'm in trouble because it's a job, a piece I really want, and I've never been to this place, and I don't know anything about these people I'm going to go see. They might be real sticklers for time, and if I'm not exactly there at the right time, I could be in big trouble. The job could be done. So those were the days. They still had pay phones at the side of the road. So I pulled over, and I had a number, and I called. And I said, I'm in Delhi. Is that close to Simcoe? Because I have a 9 o'clock appointment. And Don Stewart said, Well, you probably aren't going to make it for 9 o'clock. But come anyway, and we'll fit you in at the end of the day. I said, okay, trouble is as you see it. So I could be in trouble because now I showed that I'm not responsible. I can't even show up to a job interview at the right time. So I came to Simcoe and I found Elgin School, and sure enough, I didn't get there by 9 o'clock. It was probably quarter after nine by the time I got there and parked and everything else. And I came in and they sat me in the staff room. And I sat there, and they must have had five different people come through being interviewed. And they all came in and said, hey, Mary, how you doing? How's Alice? How da da da? And then everybody knew everybody. And I thought, I don't know anybody. What my shot is? This trouble is as you see it. Well, I'm in trouble because I have no shot at this. And I went in and I met with, at that time there were three different principals that I was meeting with. And I showed them what I had done. And they were kind of thinking, oh, that's nice stuff. And what I had been doing and who I had been working with. All these different schools in London and so on and so on. And by the time I got back to northwest London, I got a phone call saying, the job is yours, we'd love to have you. Thank you, God. And from that point, it's kind of like going, okay, God, this is a good place. I should be here doing those kinds of things. So trouble isn't always just trouble. It's how you see it, how you perceive it. It could turn out really, really well. And it did. I mean, there's another side story that goes with that. I had a friend that I went and played hockey with. And when we were here, I wound up going on the church hockey team. And I was sitting at one of the games afterwards, and I'm sitting next to a guy, and I said, do any of you guys know a Jim Carroll? And I said, because I was friends with his brother in London, and he said that Jim goes here, and I might know him, or see him, or something. And the guy said, I'm Jim Carroll. And there I was. Like, so trouble is how you see it. So there's a scripture that goes with this, Philippians 4:4-9. And this is one of the things that I always, whenever I'm feeling a little bit, oh, this is trouble, I could be in trouble. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So during those anxious times that I wasn't sure what was going to happen, I keep getting reminded of this little scripture verse, don't be anxious about anything. Trouble is how you see it. With God's help, trouble isn't necessarily always trouble. And my third story, which is really a God moment all the way around, I was traveling from New Brunswick to Ontario at Christmas time. And my brother was having a wedding, his wedding, in Markham on New Year's Eve. And I thought, okay, so I'm going to take cheap gas. I'm going to come through the States and we'll be fine. It's Christmas time, which means that the roads are somewhat snow covered and we're traveling through New Hampshire. I take the wrong turn. So instead of taking the route that goes north and into Quebec, and then I sort of put good roads in Quebec, I took the wrong turn, because we didn't have GPS and all those things, and it was just my map. I took the wrong turn, and I went the mountain trail through New Hampshire snow-covered roads all day. But I got lots of time. My brother's wedding is for 2 days. No big deal. And so I took it easy, nice and careful. Until I came to a downward slope and around a corner that was just outside of town. Well, towns want things to be safe, so they salt their roads. And salt on a snow-packed road does what? It becomes slush. So I've been on this nice packed, hard road. It was snow, but hard packed. And it happened to hit that corner when all of a sudden it became slush. And I had been traveling at a certain speed that doesn't do well on slush. So I lost control of the car. I thought, I'm going to be fine. I'm just going to steer into that lane. And, of course, it was a Jeep coming the other way. I couldn't just steer into the lane. And sure enough, the Jeep hit me, and I hit it. And everybody was good in the Jeep, and it was all nice and safe. Except now I was stuck in New Hampshire, 10 miles from whatever town it was. And my brother's wedding's in 2 days, and am I going to get there? So, tow truck came, and the people were going to a mountain resort and everything. Their Jeep was fine. It's a Jeep. It's got big bumpers on it. It was the back end of my car, the back tire was crushed in, and the whole back of the car was, all the windows were broken out. It was a station wagon kind of car. So they towed me to a garage. And I said, can I rent a car here? And the guy said, well, you know, it's a pretty small town. We don't really have a car rental place here. I said, my brother's wedding's in a day and a half. Oh, well, I don't know what we can do. I said, well, can you fix the car? Well, I don't know. Trouble is how you see it. Well, I felt I was in trouble. Except that this is New Hampshire. A lot of people in New Hampshire are very godly kind of people. And he said, oh, like your brothers. I told him the story, and he said, gee, well, we'll see what we can do. He said, I'll run you down to the motel. And you can stay there for the night. And we'll work on your car tomorrow. And see what we can get done. We'll get a frame puller. We'll straighten it out. Tape up the back window or something like that. So I went back the next day. I got a ride back at 5 o'clock. They were closing. And my brother's wedding was the day after this. It's now 5 o'clock at night. And I arrived, and the guy said, the best we can do is we straighten the wheel a little bit, but it's wonky. And I know it's cold, and so we covered it with, clear plastic and duct tape all around it. He says, but if you get any kind of speed on it, you're going to rip that thing right off. I said, so I can drive? He says, well, if I was a government inspector, I'd say no. But I'm not, and you got to get to your brother's wedding, so there you go. So I'm going to get in the car. Everything's sort of good, and it's still daylight. And whenever I hit an icy patch, the whole car would go sideways. As long as I kept it under 60 kilometers an hour, I'm pretty good. Okay, now I've got to get from the north part of New Hampshire through Quebec, down past Montreal, down all the way to London, to Toronto, and to Markham. And his wedding is tomorrow afternoon. I can't do better than 60 kilometers an hour. And I still have night to come. Trouble is, as you see it. I said, okay, God. Well, you can help. That'd be great. And so we got going. And when I could see the icy patches, I could slow down and, get there. Get on the 401, and all of a sudden, now it's getting dark. And snowing, and there's icy patches. drifting, and I'm doing along with four-way flashers going, and I'm doing 60 kilometers an hour, and I'm on the 401, which feels kind of silly, doing that speed on the 401. Through God's grace, I got to Markham at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the wedding's at 3, and I pull over once in a while and call my brother and say, I'm coming. I think I'll be there. And so I hadn't slept. So he had a motel room for me, and I slept for about an hour and a half, got up, got changed, and I made it to my brother's wedding. Was I in trouble? I don't know. Trouble is that you see it. So all the things that I encountered, by the time we got to the trailer on the 401, this is no biggie. Like, we've been through worse things before. And so what I want to tell, remind you of is, you've all been through events in your life. And you're here. You've made it through. God has blessed you. God's Spirit has guided you and given you wisdom as to how to deal with life. Trust in that. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6. It's a great verse. Whenever you think this could be trouble, it's how you see it.